Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Kuharski is texting in song recommendations.
Yeah. That's Not Her Style by Billy Joel. I listened to a little bit of it. It sounded like Billy Joel trying to like do country or something. It's pretty bad. Style by Taylor Swift though is a good song. There's in the song Black Velvet by Alana Miles, there's a style line. So like we're digging deep here. No shortage of love stuff though.
No, they have plenty of those.
Yeah, got that on lock.
A lot of material.
So William from Madison is saying that the someone and the someone, it was Ray Carthon on TD's show, saying that he has Reese as his number one off-ball linebacker in this draft. Yeah, I mean Reese again.
That's
projects.
Who I trust when it comes to the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear that, so sometimes this is a game of telephone, but Sonny Styles is and not only rated as the top off-ball linebacker in this draft, he's rated as one who could be like special compared to other linebackers in other drafts. So, I mean, you know, the testing and all that. And Reese is supposed to be an edge in the NFL. So, I don't know. There's something lost in the translation.
Well, is that maybe Rand's just saying that, hey, if he got in the NFL and they decided to play him at off-ball linebacker, that he'd be better than Sonny Styles at off-ball linebacker.
Maybe.
I don't know. Versatility, good thing to have.
And then if that happened and he picked him, there'd be 27 GMs texting him, saying, you son of a gun.
You stole my pick. Great stuff. You hired every coach I wanted to hire, and you took every person that you wanted to take, and you won 3 games.
Something he said, by the way, is really interesting to me after listening to Mike Vrabel yesterday. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. Mike Tomlin is headed to NBC to be a studio analyst on Football Night in America. As you know, obviously Sunday Night Football we've watched over the years. I figured that Tomlin would probably end up in the studio analyst role rather than the color commentary role, and I'm pretty excited to see what he's going to do there. He is, you know, Andrew Marchand, friend of the show, put together this piece at The Athletic, kind of going through all this, and Tomlin, to nobody's surprise, you know, TV executives have kind of been looking at him and identifying him for, as Marchand puts it, for over a decade at this point because of just the way he breaks down the game as a coach. I've always thought Mike Tomlin, if he wanted to, could be pretty darn good on TV, and I'm excited to see what that's going to look like this year. You know, I don't know who he's going to be with, as it points out in the article. You know, the roles of Rodney Harrison, who's been on there, Jack Collinsworth, Chris Sims, are in kind of flux at this point. So maybe those guys will be on there. Maybe it's like a completely different team. I think Tony Dungy is already out. So it's going to be somewhat different with Tomlin coming in. But interested to see what the rest of the crew kind of looks like around him. But I think Tomlin could be pretty good on television.
I do too. I've been wrong before, so I'm going to wait and see. Because sometimes people just, when they get to that role, again, I mean, Drew Brees, I think, is the biggest obvious thing. It's like everybody was so excited about Drew Brees. It was like everybody's got clamoring to get Drew Brees on, and then it was just like, wah, wah, you know. So, but I would definitely think that Tomlin would be good. I also feel like, I don't know, that Sunday night, you know, that whole setup is, there's just not a ton to it. I don't like a Tomlin. I would like to see him be a game analyst, you know, like if he's good at that, what some people are, some people aren't, some people are Greg Olson, some people aren't Tom Brady. He's gotten fine. But just
did you give Brady too much love earlier in the show? You got to overcorrect.
Probably. Okay. I'll take a few shots at him, but the ability to quickly diagnose things, tell the viewer, you know, something that they don't know, that's not just obvious. I mean, I, you know, to me, that's That's what I'd like to see. I just feel like the studio, I don't know. I don't watch studio shows or stuff.
I don't watch them a ton.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so little. There used to be a time. I mean, I used to hang on Irv Cross and Brent Musburger's every word on NFL Today and Jimmy the Greek, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, the Fox guys were funny and Terry Bradshaw, ah, ha, ha, you know? I don't know. For me, at least, and I feel like a lot of people say the same thing, it's like these shows have kind of become irrelevant. But Sunday, they do kind of – they cut away to the guys. They kind of almost force them into your face a little bit,
yeah.
Right? Like up near the game.
I did enjoy NFL primetime back in the day with Chris Berman and Tom Jackson.
Yep.
That was good stuff.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yep.
But it just – it's not – it doesn't feel like that role. But
that was a recap show.
Yeah, so. It was a recap show. But, I mean, it's basically what Football Night in America is a recap show of the day's
yeah.
action. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean
– I think some of it is that you didn't – back then, you didn't – you didn't have access to those games.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You saw a bunch of stuff you wouldn't otherwise see, and now you don't. That's not the case, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's different now. But like, I think in terms of, you know, analysis of the game, I think Tomlin will be very good on there.
Like, yeah.
I mean, frankly, let's get Jason Garrett as far away from this stuff as we can.
Yeah.
And get Mike Tomlin in there. That'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I like Garrett – Sims, okay.
It's not great.
Yeah. But it also, though, are you going to be a truth teller? Are you going
right.
Are you going to be willing to criticize and not just, you know, rip people left, right, but just when it's warranted.
Call it like you see it.
Yeah, exactly. Will you do that? Some people balk at that opportunity.
Well, so, and then, like,
I'm hopeful.
On the long-term part of this, does Mike Tomlin – is this what he wants to do long term? Like, is he just going to be TV from here on out, or is he going to get back into coaching? Because look, the last Steelers guy, everybody thought the same thing, right? It's like, well, Bill Cowher retired, he got out of coaching, and then for the next 6 years, it was like, all right, so which job is Bill Cowher going to take yeah. in the NFL? And he never did.
Yeah,
and he has been in TV ever since. You know, how does Tomlin kind of view that? I mean, it feels like Tomlin's been around forever because he has. He's like 54 years old. Like, he could definitely coach for a long time if yeah. he wanted to continue coaching.
I feel like he's got another coaching gig in him. I feel like this is going to be a one-year thing. So I guess if it's really – maybe you hope it's not really good because then we'll lose him immediately. But I can't believe he's going to go out like that as a coach. So I think he's going to be back. But we'll see. I mean, sometimes, yeah, it's like, well, gee, still making a lot of money, still connected to the game. But I think the adrenaline of competing – yeah, people miss that. I'd be surprised. This is clearly a bitter Steelers fan who says, what's the equivalent of 9-8 for TV? That's what he's going to be.
There you go.
All right, well, enjoy Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, who's going to be quarterback?
I don't
Aaron
know.
Aaron Rodgers? Will Howard? Ty Simpson?
Ty Simpson, sure.
Could be any one of those three.
But with Mike McCarthy's
Garrett
coaching,
Nussmeier?
You know, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike McCarthy's
a good coach.
He is a good coach.
He's a good coach.
Just saying. Like, that's the first. Well, I mean, the Steelers only made two hires in my lifetime yeah. of coaches. And I guess neither of them were, like, super exciting at the time, but they yeah. were both, like, they're just smarter than everybody. And then this one, you're like, maybe they're not smarter than everybody anymore. I don't know. We'll find out.
I thought the Titans should have given McCarthy a look. Doesn't look like they really did. But, you know. They yeah. end up with Bob Sala, so it's all good.
They did. Well, we'll see if it's all good. If they draft all defense on Thursday, then
this defense is going to be stout. I have no idea if the quarterbacks can play or not, but defense is going to be stout.
Yeah. There is, like, the whole, you know, the whole Sala, Dable, are they fighting over offense versus defense? I mean, Sala is the head coach.
Yeah.
And Borgonzi is the GM.
It's true.
Is Borgonzi playing referee right now with those two?
I don't know, man. Like, if you're Dable, I'd probably look at the offense right now and say, hey, it'd be nice to, you know, give me a couple more skill guys out there.
Absolutely.
Maybe somebody can block.
No. Maybe the Titans want Dable to be here more than 1 year, so they want this offense to stink for a year. You know, settle in a little bit, buddy.
I can't wait for, like, Friday. You get through the end of the – of the second, third rounds, and you're like, wow. So the Titans have taken Sonny Styles, Zion Young, and some corner from Ohio State, the first three picks. That's good stuff.
Hey, Be great at something, you know? Don't just be okay at multiple things. Be great at one thing.
This defense is going to be unbelievable. It's like, who's playing offense? Oh, yeah. Tajay Spears still getting the ball somehow for the Titans out there. That's good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Mike Vrabel addressing the media yesterday, and it was quite interesting. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
You know, I've had some difficult conversations with people that I care about, with my family, the organization, the coaches, the players. Those have been positive and productive. You know, we believe in order to be successful on and off the field, you have to make good decisions. That includes me. That starts with me. We never want our actions to negatively affect the team. We never want to be the cause of a distraction. You know, and what those are comments and questions that I've answered for the team and with the team. We'll keep those private and to ourselves. I care deeply about this football team, and I'm excited to coach them. I also know that I'm going to attack each day with humility and focus. And what I can promise you is that my family, this organization, the team, the staff, the coaches, everybody, our fans, most importantly, will get the best version of me going forward. And that's what I know, and I'm excited to do that. But I wanted to just address this and thank you for your patience in dealing with the private and personal matter.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday addressing the media for the first time since all the photos between him and Diana Russini. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com to the program here today. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
He's early today.
I'm going to attack the day with humility.
That's good.
I don't know what that means.
I don't really know what that means either, but that's good.
Who said that? Is that what Vrabel just said? Attack the day with humility. Yeah.
Yeah. Attack each day with
humility. You could use some humility. You could actually use a little humility in your life, PK.
I probably could, but I don't know how to attack a day with humility.
I'm humble. I don't know.
I mean, I think somewhere in there's an admission that he's overly prideful. I wonder if the overly prideful is that, hey, I got very comfortable with this situation, and it was emboldened, and I got caught.
Well, the entire press conference yesterday from Vrabel, I would say, Joe, was a far cry from laughable, which is, I think, is the word that he used.
Yes.
When this story first broke.
Total change
as to the Chargers. So it was a pretty big change of tone yesterday. What did I'll just open the floor to both of you. What did you make of Mike Vrabel's press conference yesterday that he threw out there?
Well, I'm anxious to hear from Joe. Are these Joe's first statements on this whole issue?
No, I went on Stilly yesterday.
He did.
Two things that stand out.
Why would you go on there?
I don't know. Listen.
Your first statements are on there?
Well, hey. Now, Stilly,
dear God, you need media coaching as much as Diane and Vrabel.
Stilly actually just texted us.
Stilly, like, well, then he took off the bikini. Oh,
God.
It's like Sandler.
Stop. Like what, the Sandlot?
Like Sandler.
Oh, okay. You're like the Sandlot, like the kid
with
the...
breathless in the whole thing. Like a guy who's watching a movie when his parents are out for the first time.
Well, I think he may be transitioning to sort of like a romance show, like a Dr. Love type show.
Okay.
Yeah. But he just texted that in the last 24 hours, Adam Schefter has retweeted Field Yates, Jeremy Schapp, ESPN podcast, and stories from Rich Cimini, Mike Rice, Brooke Pryor, Mel Kiper, and Peter Schrager. But he didn't retweet Ben Strauss, and then had like the little emoji. So ESPN had a 2,000-word whatever story.
It was a good story.
Yeah, it was fine. It didn't really advance much, but it was fine. It recapped everything. And that somehow is proof to him, because they're not promoting it like it's the story of the century, that they're hiding it. They did a story on a thing, but they're hiding it. That's just brilliant Stilly logic. On the Vrabel thing, the two things that stand out is, yeah, like the change of tone from laughable to, you
I'm
know,
this seriously.
Hard conversations. But also, did you play the part, Ian? Did you play the part?
We played the whole part. We were listening to it.
Was that the whole thing?
We were listening to it coming back from break.
No, that wasn't the whole thing. Shut up. That wasn't the whole thing. I think my favorite part was, you know, he was talking about, I guess, why he talked about this yesterday, which was good for him to get out in front of it. Regardless of what you think about the statement itself, it was good to get out in front of it, because otherwise tomorrow night's going to be like, yeah, nice pick. And by the way, yeah, Mike.
Exactly.
But he had this really I have to paraphrase, but like, this is going to be a magical night for these guys. And they're like, wow, it's just like what Rand said a couple years ago.
Yeah, you guys are big on quoting Rand. I got to give TD a hard time.
We keep bringing Rand
what
back.
What I want is information from a guy who's 2 years of personnel work here helped destroy the franchise. Hey, what do you think the Titans should do? I want your information on picks. Why can't Mike Vrabel say, I put myself in a bad position, and that's on me, just as it would be on our players if they did it. And it's really bad because I'm at the top of the ladder here, and I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a crisis management people advising them. Why wouldn't a crisis management? I need to go into crisis management. Because why can't you just say that? Just say that, and it would really – really do a lot to make it go away.
Well, and
but that there's no sorry in it. Not that he has some huge thing to apologize for, but his whole thing is don't do stupid bleep that hurts the team, and he is the symbol of that, and he does makes a big distraction that's the story of the league for 2 weeks. I would hope he said that to the room. He can't get himself to say it to the media.
Well, he said yesterday that I guess he had a meeting with the entire team. I guess that would have been Monday. So Monday, met with the team and kind of addressed this situation. He was asked in the aftermath of that statement yesterday a few different questions about this whole ordeal and basically just went into, well, I appreciate the question, but I'm not answering.
It's so let me take some questions. Thanks for the question. It's like the day after the – remember the plane thing, the press conference we had? It was like, was there alcohol on the plane? I appreciate that question. I'm now going to say five more words and then stop saying words.
Yeah, exactly.
Next question. Appreciate that question. Here are a few more words and then no more words.
He did make sure to point out every time that he did appreciate the question.
But look, there's a lot of room here. I mean, it's a long way, like you said, Robbie, from it's laughable. I mean, he's up there in a mournful tone saying, I had to basically I had to shame myself in front of my players. Well, so my question would have been, Mike, what happened to laughable?
Yeah. We needed PK in the room yesterday.
It is a severe change of tone and of reaction to the same information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
don't do dumb that hurt the team.
I mean, so he talked also about, at the first part of his statement, he could have talked to the media earlier than he did. So he pointed that out yesterday and said that, he wanted to make sure he got in there before the draft. And, as the Rand comments go of, hey, this big important night for the organization coming up here on Thursday.
So, in case you didn't know, this is the biggest night of their lives. Well, I've always championed that.
Yeah. It is smart, obviously, to get out in front of it. And it was smart to get in front of his people. But he could have had a huge Zoom call with the team. Faster than that, and I'm sure not the entire team wasn't at the first day of OTA.
Yeah, you want to do that in person, though, don't you? There. You want to do that in person.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I don't have a huge problem with the timing and everything. I don't think he went far enough, and I hope he went further with the team. And, I don't know if anybody on that team will share anything about what he said. I doubt it. And so that'll be the end of it from his end. And, I think there are some legitimate questions about maybe his use of the information chain to kind of manipulate some things.
Yeah, there are people that are still going to talk about that, right? The trade stuff, AJ Brandt, whatever, for sure. There's also, I don't know, I don't have a Boston Globe. Apparently you can't even get one free piece here, but Ben Volen. Says Patriots coach Mike Vrabel broke his silence but hurt the sincerity of his message with he called it a sneak attack, sneak media attack. So I guess he called this 5 minutes before it happened or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Reese wasn't there, and I don't know that everybody was there, so it was kind of a lesser media audience, I think, than would have usually been there.
He needed a 24-hour warning, so you could have been there.
Well, here's the
reunion.
Here's the interesting thing, too. From his perspective, he's addressed it now. They got the draft coming up. You get into the NFL offseason, you get into training camp, and everybody's attention is going to turn to, all right, well, the football team, and what's that look like? What if they're not good, right? What if they take a step back?
And they probably will.
I don't think is that – they had a great year last year. Drake May played great. their schedule was what it was. My guess is, you know, it's probably some level of step back. We're probably not going to the Super Bowl next year.
Yep.
So, like, if they struggle, especially out of the gate, everybody's going to come back to this, right?
100%. So
this comes right back up.
100%. You can say, and I think you've been a big, this isn't going to affect Vrabel guy, that people hear, people in Vrabel's position, they hear what people are saying. And it's going to be talk radio, and it's going to be social media, so some people are better than others at insulating themselves. But every misstep, every failure, everything bad that happens of Vrabel moving forward, someone will bring this up. And you can't tell me there's no effect.
I don't know that I said it doesn't affect him. I said wins and losses are what affect him. So obviously, sure, if he's losing, it comes back. I've said it doesn't affect him the way it affects her, obviously.
Yeah. Right.
And Diana Russini's already out of a job. And her code breaking is a different code breaking than his code breaking in this whole thing, obviously.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharsky with us for the remainder of the program. We've got a lot of stuff to get into with PK, with the NFL draft coming up tomorrow. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. That's a pretty good song. I like it from Billy Joel. Good suggestion by PK.
Oh, this is the Billy Joel song?
Yeah, man.
Ew. God. Billy Joel deep cuts, man.
Nylon Curtain. It's a good album.
What album was this?
I think Nylon Curtain, no? Down Easter Alexa.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it had the We Didn't Start a Fire, which
you can, okay, so we're talking late 80s here.
Your own feeling about. But And So It Goes, I Go to Extremes. Those are a couple good songs.
Yeah.
Stormfront, not Down. Stormfront. Not Stormfront.
I like that.
89.
Yeah. I'm a big Down Easter Alexa guy.
Down Easter Alexa's terrific song.
I like We Didn't Start the Fire.
I do too.
How about you,
PK? I'm a big Billy Joel guy.
I mean, it's a fun song. It's not
Yankee Stadium in the video here. Music video.
Hey, now we're talking.
Of the song that you just played?
Yeah.
Old Yankee Stadium.
It actually had, it was a song good enough to make a video, huh? I don't remember this song.
Dude,
there
is an official video. On Spotify, video. There are videos for everything now. Like, they went and
just dug them
found,
up.
Found stuff for everything. If you
like
actually
AI
look
made
at your
videos?
Phone, if you look at your phone on Spotify, there's something playing for every song.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't do Spotify. I do Apple Music.
Oh my God, you're the one.
Well, then you
I
get
mean,
to
you
pick
thought
your songs.
That Apple Music would stop. Like advertising itself to you at some point. I still go on there because I play my library, but still pushing for me to buy Apple Music.
I just remember
like
when Apple
10 years later, I'm like, "Hey, Jimmy Iovine, it didn't work."
I remember one time Apple just randomly put an entire U2 album on our phone. It's like all of us want this U2 album. That's great.
Yeah,
it really hurt.
That was a little bit aggressive.
It really hurt both Apple and U2.
Yeah, it did.
A lot of people that had no feeling about U2 began to hate U2.
Yeah, but I mean, if you know anything about U2, you may have to love U2.
That album was not
that
their
album
best
not
work.
Very good.
It wasn't their best work. It wasn't terrible. Yeah. But yes, the one song, the first song of the album that is constantly as soon as you get in your car and it starts playing.
It's a rough one.
Uno, dos, tres, catorce. Yeah,
that was
a tough scene.
It was like a hostage taking almost. They took us all hostage.
Yeah, it's like I don't want this.
But the point being, Apple Music, you just get to play. You can find any song and you play it.
As opposed to Spotify, where they just force random music.
But why is Spotify? Why is Spotify better?
You can't play anything.
But why is Spotify better?
I just like the layout better.
It was first in terms of the convenient element to it. Ian, contribute here.
I use Spotify.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm not criticizing anyone for using it, but I'm just wondering what feature would make it better.
Better than Apple Music?
Yeah.
Probably nothing. I think they're the same.
Good. He just shut you down.
Can you find
part of why
Apple Music, it forces itself on you every time you're near there. It's like, subscribe to Apple Music. We'll give you coupons to these 15 things and free 3 months and buy us. And Spotify, I don't think, has ever forced itself on me.
I think it was just Spotify was the first one to have that streaming kind of service. Yeah. I mean, you could have iTunes, right, and download the music and put it on your old school style iPod, iPhone, iTunes.
Well, I still have a library of bought
stuff. Yeah, which is good because you don't. I mean, you pay for it, you might as well keep it forever. Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think it was just Spotify was the first one to be able to stream like that, and just kind of stuck with it.
Texter says Apple Music is the GOAT of music apps. There we go.
Good to know.
But then Caleb says Spotify is definitely the GOAT.
Spotify. Yeah.
What a debate. This is a great topic for like mid-July.
Spotify combines.
That we're having the day before the draft.
Combines my love of Springsteen and my son's love of Lil Tecca. So at the end of the year when we get our stats, we rank very highly in the odd combination.
Lil Tecca? I think that's a terrible artist Brennan likes too.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this person. Good to know.
Oh, you got to check him out.
Okay. Anyone with Lil is bad, probably.
We are a day away from the NFL draft. PK, we were talking earlier in the show. It's always interesting this week. You know, Schefter comes out this week on Monday and starts talking about how, hey, look, you know, here in Arizona at number 3, might take Jeremiah Love, but they also could be open to trading back. And they had Peter Schrager yesterday that says, you know, after basically all offseason long, mocking Jeremiah Love to the Titans at number 4. He's like, yeah, I just don't believe that's happening anymore after talking with somebody in the Titans organization. So what do you make of all the stuff that comes out, the noise from the week of the draft? How much do you read into it? How much of it do you say, eh, I don't know, man. It's awfully close to the draft for all this information to be changing.
I just want it to be tomorrow night. The Arizona thing was well beyond Schefter. Like, it was like an organized campaign for them to get out that it was Love. And Joe touched on this, and I'm glad you didn't take it all the way, because I want to take it all the way now. Like, strategically, if they're trying to spur interest in Love, like, how does it make sense that, hey, we're now taking Love,
right,
spurs people to trade to them to get Love? Like, if they're saying we're taking him, am I calling you and saying, well, hey, it's out there that you're taking him, but I want him. So should I come to you to get him, or do I have to go ahead of you to get him?
Right. So you really need to be calling
the Jets,
too.
Yeah. Right. I would already be calling you to get him, because the presumption is the Titans are taking him. So I don't understand how this changes anything in Arizona's favor. It would actually kind of hurt Arizona in terms of people coming to Arizona to get Love. Unless you call him and said, hey, are you sure about Love? Or was that some kind of weird signal to me to call you about Love? So I don't really understand that whole thing.
Yeah, maybe it's like there's some, again, so they, was it McShay? And then you get a little bit with McShay. But he's the one who said there's a voice in that organization that is pushing hard for it and actually has more clout in the organization than I realize. I mean, it could just be like, real, right? Just that they just like Love, and and someone found this out. I don't know.
Has more clout than I realized. Well, I mean, you have a GM in Austin Fort, and who has more clout? The ownership. Does ownership have more clout than you realized?
Well, could it be someone else in the personnel department,
or could it be LaFleur?
There we go.
Yeah. Known as Robbie's boy.
Yeah.
That's what we need. More LaFleurs.
Whatever they touch turns to gold, so that would make sense. I don't know. I mean, but really, maybe it is a real thing. And it's just as simple as, yeah, they actually like Love.
Does Mike LaFleur know that Jeremiah and Jordan are not the same person? Like, it's the different players, different position?
That's a good question.
Yeah, maybe that's the issue.
It could be it. Oh, wait, this is a running back?
Well need a good quarterback. Great.
Yeah, heck yeah. Let's go get Jordan Love.
This is the week where people have to convince me why this is fun. Like, why do you love all this speculative nonsense rather than just, like, having the draft 2 weeks ago, accelerating the pace. I know they're never going to change the calendar, but this is where I just I marvel at the fascination with the pre-draft process. Like, why do we love speculation so much as opposed to actual news?
It's a good question.
So I don't get that. Here's my thing on Sonny Styles, and you guys were doing a good job of talking about the Sonny Styles thing.
Thanks. We appreciate your validation.
Yeah. Well, I come in and I validate, and I shoot some things down. Sonny Styles, like, I think people – I think it's too broad with people saying, well, Saleh's had some really good off-the-ball linebackers. He's got to love this guy and want him. Well, Saleh, it's in evidence, you know, his off-the-ball linebackers have been, you know, some third-rounders and you know, Al Shazier was I'm botching his name.
Aziz Alshire
was an undrafted guy. So maybe he's looking at the board and saying, man, if you could get me Jacob Rodriguez, if you could get me Anthony Hill, if you could get me Josiah Trotter, if you could get me Kyle Lewis, I'll be perfectly happy. I could turn that guy into a great guy in my system. I don't need a first-round pick.
Yeah, I hear what you're
off
saying.
Off-the-ball linebacker, get me an edge up there, or get me a running back that's going to be a 25-carry-a-game guy.
I hear what you're saying, but if you're Robert Saleh and you're being honest with yourself, you also know, as we talked about, that if you went back to that draft when Fred Warner went, you'd take him first. You'd take him with your first pick because you know he's that good. And you can turn guys into certain things and coach them up. Fred Warner's a spectacular talent all on his own and has helped make him look better. If he has any honesty and humility –
But
word of the
he's
day.
Coaching again, forward with the
this is where
the day,
attack it. This is where the evaluation is so important, and that's the whole part about this week that hasn't changed. It's not like the Titans have a new evaluation on Sonny Styles or Alvaro Ruiz or David Baylor, any of these guys.
Sure.
So if your evaluation is close, this goes back to what I was saying earlier in the show. Like if you're Robert Saleh and it's a pretty close evaluation between Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese or Sonny Styles and David Bailey, well, you take the edge rusher in that situation because of what he just said, where you have found linebackers and you can coach some of these linebackers up. And maybe they're not Sonny Styles, maybe they're not Fred Warner, but they could be pretty – there's a lot of room in between there between subpar linebacker play and Fred Warner. You can find a middle ground there if you're Robert Saleh.
Yeah. And realistically, Styles is probably somewhere in that middle ground, so don't take him there.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. Paul Kuharsky with us for the remainder of the program. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm not using my rants just to brag about Nolensville High victories in football, I swear.
Go ahead. I give you time now to apologize.
Are you going to fire yourself? Because you need to be fired.
Most recent book is about Tupac.
Terry Bradshaw, ah, ha, ha, you know, all yucking around with Terry Bradshaw forever ago, right? They stop Joe, protect little ears petition.
Cooked carrots. Let me feed you your broccoli.
They love me because I give baby life-saving blood.
Why are you hopping in the shower next to me?
It's more like a golden shower.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters the most. Check them out at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe Rex wrote.
Non sequitur heaven.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. I got a theory on the Arizona strategy I'm going to get into. This doesn't have to be a long rant. Sometimes they go a little longer. It's real simple here. And this goes to some arguments that Paul Kuharsky and I have had this week as we dig in on either side of this Nolensville-Ravenwood baseball rivalry, which comes down to tonight.
Go Raptors.
And I'll be in your stadium, field
just
tonight.
That you're going to three games of a series that does not involve your child.
I didn't go last night.
Just two.
My child had something last night. Shout out Caroline National Honor Society. She's probably in the car right now. I mean, that's twice. It's kind of like overkill.
Pump up, Caroline.
Like it's a little bit of like overkill.
Let the record show that I said earlier that she did get it after Katie, and you said did not.
I just know she's not following in my footsteps. I can't speak on Katie's footsteps.
The favorite Rex Road child.
So I'm only going to two. I'm going to your place and
twice.
And looking forward to kicking some Ravenwood butt tonight. Shout out to Ravenwood, though.
Which
I love the Raptors too.
No disrespect.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Which member of the Nolensville team is auditioning for CPA tonight?
Oh, good one. Yeah, no, we've got some kids on the team that are kids of friends of ours, and so we support our team and we support our friends and their kids.
Are they looking to go to CPA?
No, but Bo Holloway, I'm glad he's healthy. He's pitching well this year, and people are going to watched Bo Holloway for a long time, so good for him.
And you're going to chase the next kid out now?
Yeah, so has anyone ever left Ravenwood and gone to a private school? Has that ever happened? Yeah. No, I don't know.
On this current baseball team? I can't recall.
Not on this current baseball team. All right, here's the point I want to get to. You keep derailing me with your inane comments.
This is the point about the unwelcoming environment in Nolensville for Bo Holloway.
Very welcoming. Everybody loves Bo.
Can't be number one. Get out of here.
Okay. All right. So this is the point. I'm not going to get to the specifics. This is all I want to say. I probably said it before, but this series has brought this to light. If you're a kid on either team, on any team, do not say nasty things to parents. Do not say nasty things to parents about parents. Have some class. If you're a parent, and again, Paul's telling me these stories that he's heard third hand. I don't know if it's true. Whatever. If you're a parent, don't taunt kids on the field. That's it. Kids are going to talk trash to each other.
Sure.
Tonight, I'm going to put Kaharski in a headlock in front of all his friends and embarrass the hell out of him and give him a noogie.
I'm not
okay?
Gonna
you're not going to be there?
I don't think I'm going
to
be
there. You are so soft. Okay, I would have done that. Parents can talk to parents. Kids, you guys are going to talk your trash. We know that. You'd like to see a little more class than we see in athletics today, but that doesn't happen. But you can't cross the lines there. The kids, you shut up about a parent. You don't need to talk to a parent. And again, same thing goes. I mean, how long ago was it, Robbie, that we had the I think that was a rant too, when a certain child of mine talked a lot of trash to the other kids in a game, and a parent bumped him in the handshake.
Oh, line. Yeah. I remember that.
That's some weak-ass stuff, you know. So, like,
you're liable to get dealt with.
You can't do that stuff. So keep it to your peer group, right? Do we agree with this?
I agree
with this, but I will add.
Oh, you got to add something. Yes, got to add something.
The parents should be the more mature people, and the parents should not be talking to the kids on the other team.
Well, I just said that. Did I not just say that?
That's where it starts. That's where it starts.
He's adding
because
the
kid is more likely, as an immature person, to then come back.
Escalate.
So don't start it.
I think it's fair.
And look, that's difficult as a parent sometimes, but you got to bite your tongue and walk away. And little Henry doesn't need you to constantly cheer for him. He's a big boy now. Just, applaud his at bat, tell him to throw strikes, and shut up.
Okay. Thanks for your contribution.
I think that's well said. I think I agree.
Fine. Yeah. But again, I don't know in this situation who did what for, you know, this is like a years in the making type of thing. Someone in the text line says Brentwood going to Brentwood. Yeah. Well, that's PK's town. So.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
And now they're bringing Brentwood High into it, and Brentwood High is not involved here.
What was your Arizona theory? Did you forget it?
I got it. Hold on.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I there's a lot of – the problem is now people are reacting to this. Okay, here we go. Arizona is baiting Love, so the Titans would be forced to go edge. So teams who want an edge will then trade with Arizona to get ahead of the Titans to take the edge. Does that make sense?
I guess until you're that team and you say, oh, wait, so you really don't want Jeremiah Love. So we're not going to trade with you because you're not going to take him at number three to the Cardinals in response to that.
Yeah.
You have to bluff awfully well to get that.
But I appreciate it.
It's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Look, Titans have to have four names, right?
Yes.
So who's the fourth name? Is it
Well, it's Bailey, Reese, Love, and Styles, right?
Right.
We think
Peter Schrager said Tate. Peter Schrager said Tate. What do you? We have to get your thoughts on Peter Schrager because I think there's something to that.
I don't think Tate's going fourth.
I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean he threw him in at the end.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to cover myself. I'll throw in every conceivable name they could take. I mean they're picking at four. You could give them one name. I think in this industrial mock draft complex, you can't give a team at four two players. That's my rule in mock draft.
And he really gave three. So he was like, it could be Reese or Bailey or Styles. I mean,
whichever
and then we'll throw in maybe Tate. At the end.
It's like it's two players, so Styles and then
either Reese or Bailey.
And then maybe Tate. But I do want your We probably don't have time for your full amazing take on like the. I mean, he said that some of the Titans organization told him they're not taking Love.
I would buy that.
Interesting.
I mean, I hope that's well. The case. Let's that's be what clear. I'm rooting for.
He wow. did not say
you're a
that.
Love hater.
He did not say that. He said that he right. was speaking to somebody in the Titans organization.
Full
and
stop.
Then, full stop. And then the next sentence started talking about how he yeah. doesn't think they're taking Jeremiah.
By the way, yeah. I don't think they're taking Jeremiah Love.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can infer yeah. what you would like to infer
yes.
from that. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us for the next hour. We got a lot to get to on the draft front with the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your questions for PK. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.